Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Power of God. Chapter 4. The Gospel and the Aspects of the Power of God Most Necessary for Every Human Being. Throughout the Scriptures, the power of God is often exalted in relation to the creation, created things, or the natural life of human beings, as already seen in previous chapters and as also exemplified in another list of texts below. Jeremiah 51:15. He has made the earth by his power, he has established the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. Psalms 150:1-2. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Psalm 66:7. He rules by his power forever, his eyes observe the nations, do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Daniel 2:20-22. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons, he removes kings and raises up kings, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things, he knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. First Book of Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours, yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. The Scriptures repeatedly announce that through his power, God made the heavens and the earth, grants natural life and takes life from the body, reigns over peoples, establishes kings and removes kings, bestows wisdom and knowledge to those it pleases him to do it, and so many other aspects. Through the strength of his power, God cares for the whole set of stars and makes sure that the benefits of rain and sun are given even to those individuals who have not yet received the righteousness of the heavenly kingdom by which they could obtain the condition of being justified or righteous before the Lord. Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number, he calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Matthew 5:45b. Your Father in heaven. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And although there are many characteristics that the Scriptures exalt about the power of God concerning the creation or created things, the Lord, through his Gospel, has exposed to the world very explicitly yet some other peculiar aspects of his power. Through his Gospel, the Lord presents to the world some specific points of his power that are worthy to be particularly highlighted and that, ultimately, are the most necessary aspects for each human being when the life of each one is placed not only under the temporal or natural perspective, but also under the eternal view. Through the creation of the present world, God already showed his power to conceive and sustain an uncountable diversity of natural life. However, through his Gospel, the Lord has demonstrated and continues to manifest the facet of his power that is also entirely capable of 1. Saving people who have strayed from the path of truth. 2. Giving saved people a newness of life that is not limited to the present world, but which God grants them to enable them to live and walk in the eternal presence of the Lord. Through his Gospel, God manifested and continues to grant aspects of his power that naturally neither eyes had seen, ears had heard, nor had human hearts thought possible to be accomplished. 1 Corinthians 2:1-16. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The power revealed by the Lord through his gospel manifested the Lord's sovereignty not only over the natural world but also over every aspect of the spiritual world, announcing that this power is capable of 1. Saving people subject to the eternal condemnation of death and destruction due to their subjection to sin. 2. Granting a new spiritual condition or new birth to an everlasting position of life with the Lord or to a position of life that is not limited to what is seen but that can be lived by faith in God. 3. Enlightening the eyes of people who receive the gospel so that they also come to see the truth about their lives from a spiritual and eternal perspective. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:5-6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:14. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Through the eternal gospel, God made known his full or omnipotent sovereignty over the most expressive enemies of human beings and revealed the path of power so that each person can achieve eternal victory over these so vile opponents. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Hebrews 2:9-15. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, in the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Psalms 86, 12-13. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Colossians 2, 13-15. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Romans 8, 3-6. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. John 11, 25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The gospel is the power of God that has worked to proclaim the eternal good that God intends for each person, but which also remains promptly active in saving to eternal life everyone who believes in the gospel offered by the Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. Moreover, or still regarding the salvation that redeems the sinner from subjection to sin and the body of sin to grant him or her the newness of eternal life that is provided by the power of God manifested through the gospel, we would like to reiterate once again that the Lord Jesus Christ declared this aspect as one of the most vital or crucial points of every benefit that the power of God can grant to an individual, as follows. Luke 10, 17-20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Not even the authority or power for a person to subject one's enemies in the present world is greater than the power found in the gospel of God to eternally save everyone who believes in this gospel and receives it in his or her life. The gospel is the power of God to eternally save people of any nation, race, or tribe, as well as to save people from the most varied conditions to which they have become subject. When Paul informs us that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, he repeats, in other words, what the Lord Jesus Christ announced when he declared that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As approached more widely on the subject entitled The New Creature in Christ Jesus, the expression Jew and Greek is used in the so-called New Testament to refer to all the people of the world, whether they are followers of the ways that are more associated with the laws that are based in rules similar to the priesthood under the law of Moses, or whether they are followers of lines of thoughts and practices that announce themselves more liberal according to the philosophical or humanistic concepts of the ancient Greek way of thinking. Therefore, the gospel is the power of God to save people all over the world and of all nations, peoples, and tribes who are subject to religious thoughts called more conservative or more rigid, but who repent and receive the grace of God, as well as people who even have declared themselves unbelievers or doubtful of the existence of God, but who, when faced with the gospel, repent of their resistance to the Creator and receive salvation through faith in Christ. And since the gospel is already complete in power and perfect concerning what God offers through it, the gospel is also the Lord's final offer for salvation of human beings. That is why no one, whether Jew or Greek, should expect any other kind of proposition of salvation for eternal life from God. Romans 3:9-26. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable, there is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, with their tongues they have practiced deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Regarding God's power that is expressed as an integral part of the characteristics of the Lord's gospel, there is nothing in the world that can prevent it from saving anyone who opens one's heart to receive the offer of the newness of eternal life that is announced by the Lord to all human beings and granted to everyone who believes in the Heavenly Father and the work of salvation revealed in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 10:6-7. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. Isaiah 45:21-22. Tell and bring forth your case, yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior, there is none besides me. Look to me, and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. Romans 5:8-10. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able, or has the power, to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.